friendly reminder that Coast to Coast Hoops is sponsored by Better. That is B-E-T-R. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download Better, B-E-T-R, or Better.app now. Sign up today and you'll get a free $10, no deposit necessary. Good morning, everybody. Hello. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peters, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you as we're going to be joined in a few minutes by one of our good friends, Curtis Rogers. He does an incredible job over at 710 Seattle Sports. Today, going to look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. We are going to be chatting with him about the Gonzaga situation with Ty and Grant Foster. Right now, he is going through the court system with trying to become eligible to play. There's an injunction that is going on after the NCAA denied his waiver, so we're going to be talking about that, how Gonzaga will look with slash without him, if there's a chance that he's going to be able to play, and spoiler, it's most likely that he is going to be able to play, but we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be taking a look at the West Coast teams, the WCC, the last year of that iteration with Gonzaga in there. Curtis is a graduate of Arizona as well. We have to take a look at the upside that the Wildcats are going to be having. So just a fun conversation with our good friend Curtis. That's going to be coming up in a few minutes, and we're going to have ourselves a lot of fun in this final week before the start of the college basketball season. 7 days from now, you're going to be getting picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. It is going to be oh so glorious. I am absolutely fired up about that, and I'm fired up to be with you guys every single day until then as well. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter / X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, Larzy M, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. While I did not get in any Twitter / X questions today, everything is powered by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost is making sure that bettors are able to access their funds whenever and wherever. With EdgeBoost, 100% of gambling transactions do get approved, and when you go to edgeboost.bet, make sure you put in that promo code of Greg, G-R-E-G. That gets you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit up to $25. And just a friendly reminder before we get to our chat with Curtis, if you're looking for the conference preview podcast I've done here throughout the offseason, I've done one for every conference. Now, there are some that I did in the summertime, and obviously there is always a lot of moving parts in college basketball, so there might be a few guys that they did get switcheroony. There are some guys that are in / out of the fold, like I did the SoCon conference preview before Wofford had their whole coaching exodus, so there are a few nooks and crannies, and trust me, when I give you guys the picks and analysis on every single game, every single day, those will be accounted for and those will be noted, but wherever you're getting your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, if you look down the playlist, every one of those conference previews are there, and again, just like every single year, you are going to be getting those picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. That is my promise to you. So we are getting close there, and in this final week, I'm going to be getting you guys alerted of like things like injury information, what have you. And then additionally, we're certainly going to be diving in with regards to what we can expect for the upcoming season. We're going to have great chats, just like the one that we're going to have right now with Curtis Rogers, who he covers a little bit of everything over there at the Pacific Northwest. And if you are familiar with my baseball podcast, Baseball Betting Show, he joined me all throughout the season there because he does the pre- and post-game hosting for the Seattle Mariners as well. You're able to follow him on Twitter /X at A Kid From Kent all together. And Curtis, it is a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Greg, always happy to hop on with you, and especially this close to the start of the college basketball season. I mean, games will be here in just over a week. It feels incredible that games are so close and we're going to have actual results to talk about. I know you're super excited for it, just like I am, and it's just an incredible time of year.
Oh, it is an incredible time of year, and it's incredible some of the hoopla that we're seeing in college basketball right now, and with the Gonzaga Bulldogs, I think that they're in for a big year, but right now of question is Ty on Grant Foster, as he had his waiver denied by the NCAA, but earlier this week, the Gonzaga Bulldogs, they decided that they were going to bring this to court, so there's right now a little bit of a holding pattern there, and can you tell us the latest on what's happening with this, as Ty on Grant Foster, if I'm not mistaken, he is going to be able to be eligible while this court case is going on.
Yeah, and there was some news on Friday that the injunction hearing that Gonzaga's filed will take place 2:30 p.m. Theo Lawson, who covers the Zags for the Spokesman Review out in Spokane says that Judge Marla Poland, who is going to oversee this, is a Gonzaga law grad. So, I mean, I wonder if that might play into a ruling in favor of Gonzaga and tying Grant Foster. It is weird how the NCAA, for as little power as they have, they kind of choose to wield it in the most random ways. I get that he has been in college since 2018 when he got his start at the JUCO level and has bounced around college basketball. But, like, when has that mattered in the post-COVID years, really? Guys playing deep into their 20s now. I get that Ty Grant Foster is 25 years old, so he's been around the block a few times in college basketball. But it just seems to me like the NCAA is just kind of using this as a case of, like, you know, just remember, we're still here. Like, we can still kind of enforce our rules, even though we have very little power to do so anymore in college basketball. It just kind of feels like this is all for nothing. Just kind of being in the position that I'm in, I look at this and say, I don't see a world where Tyon Grant Foster doesn't suit up for Gonzaga at some point this season. And even if he does, maybe it's after a few games or so. But yeah, I think the NCAA, they lose darn near every court case.
They're the Washington Generals of the court system.
Exactly. And I hope they lose this one, because at the end of the day, who is this hurting? You're hurting Tyon Grant Foster and his ability to play. You're hurting the Gonzaga basketball program because it's one less piece that they could add to a really special season. So hopefully cooler heads prevail here and that judge rules in favor of Gonzaga and Tyon Grant Foster.
Yep, I'm right there with you. We shall see what is going to be happening on that front, but I would anticipate Gonzaga having him out there on the court. But let's say that they don't have him out there on the court, which that would be a very, very rare W for the NCAA, one that I don't think that they've gotten in many, many years. But even without Tyon Grant Foster, I look at this Gonzaga team and I still think that they're going to be fine. And you know this team as well as I do, Curtis. There's a lot of guys that a lot of people aren't talking about because they were injured, like Jalen Worley, Steel Venters, and those guys coming back are bigger than any of the transfers that Gonzaga was able to get this offseason, in my opinion, since maybe Adam Miller.
Yeah, Gonzaga, I think, had a much quieter offseason than they've had in years past. But you mentioned Adam Miller, another veteran guy who's been around multiple schools. Tyon Grant Foster, obviously, has been around to multiple schools. But you're bringing back a guy like Graham Ike, who is now the leader of that program. This is his third year with the Zags, which you hardly ever see anymore. Guys spending 3 years in one place. Braden Huff is there as well. He's been really good for them. I think those two are definitely going to be carrying the Gonzaga team on most nights. I'm really excited to watch what they're able to do this season. I think this Gonzaga team in the final year of the WCC, just the original WCC, I think this team could really, really have some fun. Obviously, they're going to be in a lot of battles with St. Mary's. Santa Clara is on the up as well. They made the splashy addition of Thierry Darlin last minute. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of really fun nights in the WCC this year, but I think Gonzaga still is the team to beat, considering, you know, how good that they have got, how good they've got things going right now in their front court with Graham Ike and Braden Huff.
Yep, I'm right there with you. And I do think that Gonzaga going to be very rock solid this season, as we do have our good friend Curtis Rogers. He does such an amazing job over there at 710 Seattle Sports. He's joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I just really look at the WCC this season, and I think that it's better than what it has been in past years. Now, am I saying that we're going to be seeing like 4+ teams getting into the NCAA tournament? No, but San Francisco is once again a rock solid team. Bringing in Mookie Cook, I thought, was really good for them. St. Mary's the St. Mary's. I recognize that they might be down a little bit from where they have been in past years, but they're still going to be able to bring it on a night-in, night-out basis. Teams like Santa Clara have been able to build themselves up too, and I just look at this entire conference, and I'm feeling very bullish about what the WCC can do this year, especially with Seattle entering into the fold too.
Yeah, I think Seattle is going to be an interesting team to watch as well. I know in the preseason poll, they were picked to finish 8th in the WCC, which, is an interesting spot for them. I think they're a team that can definitely play above their preseason projection. They've been a pretty solid team in the WAC for the last 3 or 4 years now under head coach Chris Victor. I think they're going to be a competitive bunch as well. You know, you look at, you know, the WCC right now outside of Gonzaga and St. Mary's, San Francisco, I think you're right. I don't see four bids in this league, But I can definitely see two. If I squint my eyes, I can definitely see three as well. I think this is going to be one of the best mid-major conferences in all of college basketball for sure, because you hardly ever see more than two bids handed out to a mid-major conference. I think the WCC is very much a high major nowadays, especially considering the success of Gonzaga. And I mean, St. Mary's is a perennial tournament team as well. There's a lot to like. There's a lot of talent in this conference this year, Greg, and I'm glad that it's going to be competitive in the final year of what we know it to be, especially when Gonzaga bids adieu and, you know, St. Mary's kind of takes over and rules the roost. It'll be interesting to see how that rivalry continues beyond this season, but I'm really excited for what we're going to see in that conference, because there's just a lot of teams that I think can play some really good ball, especially in that group of four, top of the conference, Gonzaga, St. Mary's, San Francisco, Santa Clara. Those four schools are definitely going to be waving the flag this year.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I do think that out there in the West Coast Conference, it is going to be a lot of fun to be able to see what those teams are going to be able to do. And I do think that there's some upside there, especially with those two teams of Washington State and Oregon State. As we know, they're going to be leaving after this year. But I just really felt like they elevated the conference last year, and it's taking the WCC to new heights. Again, we don't know what it's going to be after this year, because it's going to be the likes of, you mentioned it, St. Mary's. San Francisco is still going to be rock solid. Those are going to be the teams that are going to be ruling, and it's very much going to be a basketball conference, because you just don't have a lot of football teams in this conference either.
I think the hope is that it's kind of the Big East of the West, the Big West, as it were, but the Big West already exists, where it's strictly basketball schools. And I think that's good. I think that's something that the West Coast.
Hey, I will say, for the
needs.
Big West, you do have quite a few football schools. Like UC Davis is actually a very good football team in the FCS.
Exactly. So having a basketball only conference is going to be great, especially out here on the West Coast, because look, especially in the Pacific Northwest, I mean, winter time around here is very much basketball season. I'm doing this interview right now with a giant rainstorm, an atmospheric river pouring down outside my house. This time of year is conducive to playing indoors out here on the West Coast. Or at least here in the Pacific Northwest. So I'm really excited for the future of the WCC. I think good things are on the horizon for them, even without Gonzaga, the tentpole program that it has been over the duration of their membership in that conference. So I really think that even without a program like them, I think there's still good things coming for this conference. You know, I think you could do a lot worse than St. Mary's as your tentpole program going forward.
Oh, absolutely. As we do have Curtis Rogers, who does an amazing job over at 710 Seattle Sports, joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And we've talked a lot of mid-major fare here in part number one with Curtis, and his main team out there in the Pacific Northwest, out there in the city of Seattle, is the Washington Huskies. So how about coming in next? We talk about them. I know that Curtis is also a graduate of Arizona, hashtag Bear Down. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Wildcats, a few teams that he's feeling bullish/bearish on, landscape of the Big Ten, and so much more. We're going to do that with Curtis on the flip side right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast. For anyone that is new to VSIN, well, I wish you a friendly hello. This is an attention to anyone that is new to VSIN, because you're able to get some free stuff with our daily newsletter. It's a great way to catch up on everything that's happening in the sports betting world. It's delivered straight to your inbox every single morning. VSIN's newsletter offers picks, data, strategies for the day's betting menu, and so much more. Sign up for free today over at VSIN.com/newsletter. That's VSIN.com/newsletter, and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That is VSIN.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSIN. You're out there in the Pacific Northwest, so obviously the main team is Washington Huskies. I feel very bullish about them, but I also just feel really good about this middle of the Big Ten in general. Do I think that they're going to be on par with the SEC and the Big 12? No, but I felt like there was a big giant chasm between the SEC and everyone else last season. I think that the Big Ten has done a really good job in terms of just reducing the gap, and I think being much more competitive, especially with those middle teams, sans really Penn State and, for a lack of a better term, Rutgers. I think that pretty much every team out there in the Big Ten this year is going to be relatively competitive, with Washington taking some massive strides forward.
Yeah, I think one good thing that the addition of the West Coast schools in the Big Ten has done is add an injection of competition that they just didn't have. It's new blood. It's fresh blood. It's a new set of eyes, too, on what Big Ten football can be. And as we know, the Big Ten currently has the longest title drought in major conferences. It's been since the year 2000, not for a lack of trying. You know, they've had plenty of schools in their conference make it to a national title game. Michigan State has played it then. Michigan has played in it since then. Obviously, Purdue a couple of years. They've played in it since then. Just kind of adding that talent has kind of raised the floor of the conference to where I think ultimately it is going to be a net positive. And I think it's going to be beneficial because, as we know, Big Ten basketball can kind of be a slog. It can be a rock fight in a way. And I like where the conference is at right now going into year two of what this new Big Ten is. Now, you mentioned Washington. They are a team that can also outplay their preseason projections. I really like what they have done this offseason. Keep your eyes out for Hannes Steinbach. He has really lit it up here in some of these exhibition games that UW has been playing. I know people really liked what he was doing on the European circuit before coming over to America this year. That's a guy who I think could very easily be a first-round pick in this upcoming draft. That's somebody who I think could be a one and done type player. You know, to have a talented guy like that and then also a really, you know, veteran group. And I think Danny Sprinkle's a guy that can really get his team going. And as we know, year two has kind of been Danny Sprinkle's thing where programs tend to pop under him. So I'm interested to see how the Huskies perform this season, especially in a crowded Big Ten. There are a lot of good teams, a lot of teams that have some possibilities for some special seasons. Purdue obviously being chief among them. Michigan, they're another one that I think could make a run at a Final Four. Not saying that Washington is in that mix for a Final Four, but I think an NCAA tournament berth would be a huge smashing success for Danny Sprinkle in year two.
Yep, and I do think that we are going to be seeing a smashing success for Washington as well. I think that there's a lot of upside with regards to them. And just really out there on the West Coast, I think that there's a lot of good basketball going to be played because we were talking about the WCC, and I do think that that's going to be a solid conference. I think all four teams that are West Coast teams that are competing in the Big Ten, I think that they're all improved. Stanford is a team that I think is being slept upon a little bit in the ACC. And the entirety of the Mountain West, while I only think that San Diego State is a shoo-in for the NCAA tournament, those, shall we say, next tier of teams like the Utah States, the Boise States, the Grand Canyons of the world, I think that there's going to be a lot of like top 60, top 75 sort of teams there. And I think that all in all, we've got ourselves just some really good basketball to be looking forward to on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah. It is going to be appointment viewing. I know a lot of people, when they view college basketball, don't like to stay up past 11 p.m. Eastern time, but let me tell you what, those 8 p.m. West Coast tip-offs, those 9 p.m. West Coast tip-offs, they can get pretty nuts. I know, Greg, you're the biggest fan of Hawaii hoops.
You're
banging that drum all the time, and I love it because it does feel like the West Coast gets overlooked, especially in the college basketball scene. I get it. I mean, the westernmost championship one was done by Baylor since 1997, so it has not been a lot of great looks for the West Coast out here outside of, like, Gonzaga. Arizona and UCLA have popped. Also, they've had their moments in the last, you know, 20 to 25 years, but outside of those programs, and Oregon occasionally as well, is definitely among the powers out here on the West Coast. It is not a portion of the college basketball map that I think enough people pay attention to. And, you know, when a team like San Diego State makes it all the way to the national championship game, people are always kind of surprised. They're like, oh, these Cinderella darlings. It's like, nah, if you pay attention to West Coast basketball, you would know that San Diego State is one of the most consistent programs, one of the best-run programs, and not just out here on the West Coast, but across the country. I mean, they've got ties to, you know, the Fab Five with Brian Dutcher as their head coach. Just a really fun program. They've been hyper-competitive forever now with Steve Fisher and Brian Dutcher. So West Coast basketball, Greg, you know it, I know it. Everybody needs to get caught up to speed because soon enough we are going to see a national champion emerge from the West Coast at some point within the next, I would say, probably 4 to 5 years, especially with kind of how quickly things can turn on a dime in the NIL, in the transfer portal era. You're going to see teams just kind of pop up here and there, and I'm really excited for the future of West Coast basketball.
Oh, I am as well, and I know you're an alum of Arizona, so I need to get your thoughts on them because it does feel like the top 5 to 6 teams in the Big 12, with Arizona certainly being one of them, Kansas, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Houston. I'm sure that I'm forgetting a team or two, but I mean, man, those top teams, BYU, they're all going to be rock solid. And how do you take a look at this Arizona team coming into the year? Because they were based around Caleb Love the last 2 years, who could shoot you into a game, could shoot you out of a game, but it just just feels like things are really rocking and rolling with this team under Tommy Lloyd, and it feels like it could be another big year for them.
Yeah, year five of Tommy Lloyd. It's interesting because it feels just like yesterday he was stepping onto campus, but he's made the tournament every year, made it all the way to the Sweet 16, and I think maybe he kind of outperformed what a lot of people's tournament expectations were of them. His goal now is to get to the third weekend of the NCAA tournament, get past the Sweet 16. He has yet to do that in his four seasons. It's going to be a younger roster this year for sure, but looking at this team, they have a lot of really interesting young pieces, as well as a nice mix of what got them there last year. Jaden Bradley, the veteran, the senior point guard, he's going to be, you know, the floor general for them. They get Mo Crevis back this season after he missed most of last year. And then you've got Koa Pete and Braden Burries, two top 10 recruits in the country. It's not like they are hurting for talent. They've always been, you know, well equipped to replace talent that has left. An interesting name to watch on this ball club, I think, going into this season, it's going to be Evan Nelson, the backup point guard, the Harvard transfer. I think he's going to be one definitely that's going to be playing some important minutes for them. And then also heard good things about Ivan Karchenkov. He is a freshman from Germany. He kind of plays a wing spot, 6'7" guy. So those are two names that I'm looking at on this Arizona ball club that if you're not familiar with them, get familiar. And I mean, look, coming out of the gate, number three Florida on opening night, like that is a big, big test for them. Really excited to see what they're able to do. Arizona has really stacked out their non-conference schedule with dates like Florida, UCLA, UConn, Auburn, Alabama. They have got tons and tons of non-conference opportunities, which is interesting because it's not like, you know, the Big Ten is hurting for talent. There is a stretch of games that Arizona has to finish off the season that could potentially be full of some landmines, just looking at the preseason top 25 rankings from February 9th to March 2nd. As the current AP top 25, the preseason top 25 stands, you got number 19 Kansas, number 10 Texas Tech, number 8 BYU, number 2 Houston, again against Kansas, and then number 16 Iowa State. So the Big 12, there's going to be another hyper-competitive year for them, and I think they're going to be well within the conversation again this year of best power conference in college basketball.
Yep, and against the defending champions, as we are recording this, Arizona currently a 3.5-point underdog in that game out here in lovely Las Vegas. So quite a bit of respect for Arizona going up against the defending national champs on opening night. That is going to be a lot of fun to dive in on, and it is going to be a lot of fun to take a look at this college basketball season. And Curtis, I know you're doing such a great job of getting set for it all. In the meantime, I know you're doing a great job with regards to the Seattle Seahawks. I know that you're doing an amazing job with the Seattle Kraken and so much more. If it's out there in the Pacific Northwest, you're covering it. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, follow along on Twitter and Instagram at A Kid From Kent. Also, SeattleSports.com. Seattle Sports on our YouTube page. That's where you want to go as well for all sorts of coverage of everything going on up here in the Pacific Northwest. Yeah, we're just counting down the days now. You can see it, Greg. Start of college basketball. It is within our sight. We can almost taste it. I can't wait to dive into this season with you over the coming weeks and months. Looking forward to what we see in front of our very own eyes here in just over about a week and a half now from now. So, Greg, really appreciate you having me on. Can't wait for our next conversation.
It's going to be a lot of fun to take a look at this college basketball season. Curtis, much like myself, absolutely loves this great game. Every single time he joins me, he lends incredible insights, and he did so once again today. So a big thanks to Curtis for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you hear podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And I'm going to be with you guys every single day on this podcast, regular season and off season. We've got to get you guys set for what is going to be the most incredible college basketball season ever. I hope that it's my most profitable one, as we've got so much that is going to be going on with these 365 teams. We are 1 week away from picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. Trust me, if you can tell, I am very jazzed up and I am very fired up for it, and I am fired up to have you guys aboard every single day, and I'll be back with you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much.